tracking your expenses, you may realize you can decrease spending in one area to increase spending in another. This way you can accomplish your financial needs without raising your overall expenditures. Financial success mandates proper budgeting. The quantity of income is irrelevant if you are spending everything you earn. In this way, your budget is just as important as your income. Comb through your expenses and search for places where you can save any amount of money. Small portions can add up. In addition to this, the simple practice and discipline of finding and cutting out any expense will increase your determination and willpower to continue doing so in the future with larger amounts. This does not have to be a difficult process. Instead, try to create a game out of it. See how much money you can cut out of your spending. The more dollars you save, the more points you earn. Spending less money and saving money should be a conscious effort. Get creative and find ways to save money. Instead of driving your car, ride your bike to work or to the gym. Instead of going out for breakfast or lunch, bring your meals from home. Instead of going out for dinner and a movie, make dinner at home and watch something on Netflix. Of course, you still want to enjoy yourself. But making a few small changes some of the time can make a big difference in the amount of money you have left over at the end of each month. Another interesting test is to try and spend no money for 1 week, except for recurring monthly bills and work-related expenses. Do not spend any extra money. No spending on food or entertainment. Instead, only eat what you currently have in your house and find free forms of entertainment. The amount of money you save in this experiment is not the purpose. The purpose is to train yourself to be conscious of every time you spend money and to learn you can have a happy and satisfying life without additional expenditures. This experiment also increases willpower as you must resist impulse purchases. Over the course of the week, there may be a handful of items you wanted to buy. A new tech device, a pair of shoes, a few lunches or dinners, and tickets to a show. After a few days when the week is over, you can now purchase these items if you still desire to. However, often you will find some of these items you no longer need. Perhaps you still want the tickets to the show, but realized you don't really need the new tech device or shoes. This periodic challenge will increase your ability to resist impulse purchases well after the week has ended. Traditional wisdom may inform you to save 10% or 20% of your income. However, these numbers are not based on anything. Why that number? What does that percentage have to do with you, your situation, and your goals? If you are in credit card debt, your goal should not be to pay the minimum amount to save more each month. Your goal should be to spend every penny you can to reduce that high interest debt. Similarly, if your goal is to retire on a small lot of land in rural Montana, you do not need to save as much compared to retiring in a Manhattan penthouse. These require certain dollar amounts, and the amount you need to save to bring these goals to fruition is just that, an absolute value. So if you need to save $1,000 per month, the percentage you are saving will vary based upon your income. Of course, we cannot always currently afford to save the amount we need to reach our goals. Sometimes the amount we need to save will exceed our current income. Ultimately, you want to determine roughly how much you can comfortably and reliably save, and then set that amount aside each month. It is often more effective when done automatically. Once you determine the amount you can save, have it withheld from your paycheck and deposited into a savings account automatically. After a while, you will adjust to this new net spending capital and hardly notice the missing money. It should be noted, you are only doing this after you have paid off your high interest debt. Failing to pay off high interest debt is counterproductive. While you may see your savings account grow, your debt will not disappear and will also grow with accruing interest. You may feel like you are making progress, but in reality, you are only making things worse by avoiding high-interest debt. Now let us talk about investing. Advertisements and money managers will send you 100 different ways with promises of turning your small amount of money into a massive fortune. How do you decide who to believe? Friends, family, co-workers, newspapers, money managers, or financial analysts? You could choose any answer you'd like. However, the correct answer is none of them. To make an investment decision without understanding it and agreeing with it yourself is mere speculation. Ultimately, your investment decision should be based upon your personal belief in the action. You can listen to the opinions of anyone you would like, but only hand over your hard-earned money when you agree. Regardless of which stocks you decide to purchase, it is vital to maintain a well-diversified portfolio. A portfolio concentrated in one sector, like growing technology companies, may provide significant short-term growth, but they are also riskier. There is no such thing as the perfect single stock. Even your number one choice, which you are extremely confident in, should only be a small portion of your overall investment portfolio. Invest in both domestic and international companies, big cap and small cap companies, and many different sectors. This will decrease your overall risk and improve your chances of turning a reliable profit. Berkshire Beyond Buffett by Lawrence Cunningham. Berkshire Beyond Buffett expresses the guiding principles which allow for Berkshire Hathaway's runaway success. Buffett has built an investment company so strong, it will continue to prosper even after his passing. These core founding values are what any investor should aspire to replicate. There are few investment magnates which can inspire people around the world. Buffett is one of these rare icons. From humble beginnings, Buffett has grown Berkshire Hathaway into a massive $300 billion conglomerate. By following Buffett's strategy, you too can build a massive company with a rock-solid foundation. Buffett became a household name in the 1990s when his success led him to acquiring stakes in such companies as the Washington Post Company, American Express, and Coca-Cola. A few of the companies Berkshire Hathaway owns are GEICO, MidAmerican Energy, and Burlington Northern Santa Fe. Berkshire Hathaway's subsidiaries appear to have no commonality. They can be large acquisitions or small ones, and are spread out over many sectors. The one thing these companies do share is Berkshire Hathaway's foundational belief of playing for long-term success. These acquired companies operate with a long-term strategy. These are not intended to be flash-in-the-pan companies, which operate on fads or requires the economy to be in a certain state. These are companies which can, and are intended to, succeed indefinitely. The Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. The Total Money Makeover is a plan to turn your financial life around and start winning. Advice on money is easy to get. Just go ask almost anyone anywhere, and they will give you all the advice you want. However, where to get reliable advice is a bit more difficult. The truth is, most money advice is junk. This book is all about simple and proven information which will get you on the right path. How are you doing right now? Are you financially comfortable? You may feel comfortable, even though you do not actually have as much money as you would like. For most people, if they have a job, car, and a roof over their head, they feel somewhat safe. However, money problems may be more near than you realize. For example, if you lose your job, now how do you feel? For most of you out there, not so secure anymore. If that one change can create a financial concern, you have more financial issues than you may think. Money security is usually more of a feeling or illusion of comfort, as opposed to you being extremely financially secure. Ramsey recounts an all-too-common story of a person who felt more financially secure than she really was. Sarah and her husband were earning a combined income of around $75,000 per year. They thought this was enough to take out a significant mortgage on their house, so they did. Unfortunately, Sarah ended up losing her job, and her house was foreclosed on. Just like Sarah, you too can have dramatic financial concerns overnight when situations change. Fortunately, you can prevent this from happening. How can you do this? Simple. Take action now. Of course, this is easier said than done. Most people are reactive. People want to wait until the situation gets bad and then change. Of course, this is often too little, too late. You are likely to lose your house, car, investments, savings, and in some cases, your significant other or health. This is not how we want to live our life. This is irresponsible, both to ourselves, as well as our friends, family, and community. Sometimes financial issues are drastic and can occur overnight. Other times the change is more gradual and you won't even notice it creeping up. More likely than not, your financial health is not where it needs to be to truly safeguard you and your family. You need to change that now while you still can. Today we are bombarded with advertisements. We live in a consumption world. Do you have a house? You need a bigger one. Do you have a reliable car? You need one that can go faster, despite there being no functional or legal use for that speed. Do you have a TV? You need one with voice commands, because remote controls are so 2006. Here's a question. How are you going to pay for all this new stuff you absolutely must have? Oh, that's right. Credit cards and loans. High interest debt has become so common today. People do not even think twice about putting something they do not need and cannot afford on a credit card, so they can pay interest on top of the thing they don't have enough money for. If this is not an obvious statement, let it be said clearly. Debt is not the way to achieve financial freedom. In contrast, debt, particularly the high interest kind, is a way to achieve financial imprisonment. The most dangerous type of debt tends to be credit cards. Credit cards may feel to some as if random companies are just giving them money. However, this of course is the furthest thing from the truth. For most people, credit card debt will significantly hurt their financial well-being more than any other form of debt. Credit card debt is so dangerous, 69% of individuals who filed for bankruptcy claim credit card debt as the primary cause. Most people use debt to appear more wealthy and more successful than they really are. Ironically, those who are actually wealthy tend to not acquire personal debt, although they may incur business-related debt. When the Forbes 400 individuals were interviewed, three-quarters of them noted paying off debt and not accumulating personal debt as a significant tool to becoming successful. Now that we have covered what not to do, i.e., incur debt, what can we do to establish financial security? You will begin with developing a detailed strategy which maps out the road to financial fitness. It should be kept in mind that you will not be able to change your financial situation overnight. These are significant positive changes in your life, and they may take a while. So plan for success, which accumulates slowly. Focus on the first step, and then the second. If you had to travel 1,000 miles by foot, would you attempt to do it all at one time, or would you start with 20 or 30 miles today and take it step by step, day by day? Your finances are the same. You cannot expect to completely transform your money overnight. However, if you take the first step today and the next step tomorrow, eventually you will get to where you want to be. Taking the first step is important, but where do you take your first step? Step one is to create a starter emergency fund. This is $1,000 you set aside for emergencies. If you have higher than average expenses, your emergency fund may be larger. Money Magazine has estimated 78% of individuals will go through a life event which results in tremendous financial burden at least once per decade. These can be unexpected medical bills, pregnancies, loss of job or income, major car repairs or total loss, etc. It is vital to have some amount of funds stashed away for these types of emergencies, which otherwise may render you completely broke within a short period of time. Of course, $1,000 will not cover many of these issues, but there are a lot of people who simply cannot start out with a $10,000 emergency fund. So at minimum, $1,000 is an amount every single person should be able to save in a relatively short period of time. Remember, this $1,000 or larger amount is exclusively for emergencies. You should not be accessing this money for entertainment, dining out, vacations, or anything of the sort. When the emergency fund is in place, your next step is figuring out the debt. You want a debt snowball. What is a debt snowball? Surely you are familiar with the concept of rolling a snowball in snow and seeing it grow in size. You want to create the same momentum regarding paying off your debt. Sort all your debt from smallest to largest. Start out with things, unpaid phone bills, and store credit cards with small amounts on them. If you have a mortgage, this will typically be the final debt. Begin paying off the smaller debts. This will help motivate you to continue tackling the larger debt obligations. After you have paid off a few of your smaller debt obligations and get into trickier ones, take a break and look at your emergency fund again. You now want to grow this fund from its initial $1,000 to at least 3 months' worth of expenses. Once completed, this fund will be able to protect two of your most fundamental needs, shelter and food. If you lose your job, this will give you enough time to find a new one and get your financial life back on track before running out of money. Once you have completed your 3-month emergency fund, it is now time to take the next step toward financial freedom. Retirement has a significant financial cost associated with it. Retirement is stressful and worrisome to those who are not financially secure. Will you have enough savings and income to be comfortable in your later years? For a place to start, aim to save and invest a minimum of 15% of the money you earn. This may feel like quite a bit of money if you are not used to setting aside money, but it is most certainly worth doing so. When it comes to retirement, you do not want to have to rely on others. This is generally a massive burden to family members, and often they are financially unable to help, even if they want to. You may think government will take care of you with your pension plan. With massive building debt, don't count on it. The only way you can be sure of a safe and comfortable retirement is to save for it yourself. You may feel there are more important things like your child's college fund or paying off low-interest debt like your mortgage, but you need to look out for your own safety and health first. Your child being debt-free after college is not going to pay your rent, medical bills, or put food in your mouth. After you are successfully saving at least 15% of your income each month, what should you do with that money? Keeping the money in a bank account does not make sense. The money will not grow, and your purchasing power will decrease over time with inflation. Decades later, when you are in late retirement, you may only have a few pennies worth of purchasing power for every dollar you saved. To get the most out of your money, you need to invest it, and mutual or index funds are the way to go. Over the course of the stock market's history, it has averaged almost 12% in compounded annual growth. A fund will seek to extract this value and provide you with the best return possible, which does not require excessive amounts of risk. A pro tip is to be careful of which fund you select. Aim for a fund with a bare minimum of 5, preferably 10 or more years of solid performance. Also, do not invest everything into one fund. Pick several funds across sectors to reduce risk. It is recommended to put 25% of your investment money into an income fund. 25% growth, 25% aggressive growth, and 25% international. The riskier funds may provide a higher return, but are also more likely to decrease in value. Overall, this balance of funds should both protect you and give you room to grow. It is a common dream for parents to pay for their children's college education. Many parents will even take on debt to accomplish this. However, this is not a viable option. Debt needs to be avoided no matter what. The massive debt required to pay for college will haunt you or your child for many years. Young adults are graduating college with roughly $26,000 in debt, and government-backed education debt does not disappear with bankruptcy. Your child is stuck with that debt for the rest of their life. So how do you finance your child's college education? The simplest and cheapest way would be for you to instead focus on your child's high school education. There are many scholarships available, and if your child performs excellent in high school, he or she is likely to attain one. Another way is to work harder, earn more, and save enough to pay in cash. A third way is an ESA, or Education Savings Account. This is a mutual fund which may help you achieve your target savings quicker. An added benefit to an ESA is it is tax-free. However, despite there being multiple debt-free options available to you with hard work and diligent savings, it is important to question whether going to college is really the best investment for your child. Daniel Goleman points out in his book, Emotional Intelligence, that education plays a smaller role in success than people believe. While college graduates earn a few thousand dollars more each year, most of this difference is believed to be attributed to correlation, not causation. This theory argues it is not college that makes a person smarter and more capable. Instead, smarter and more capable people are more likely to go to college, and therefore produce the income discrepancy. This appears to be true, considering the large majority of graduates end up working in a field completely unrelated to their studies. Goleman instead argues positive attitude, strong work ethic, vision, and perseverance are the personality traits which are more likely to determine success. So, is college necessary for your child? Not if it requires you to go into debt or your child to go into debt. If you want your child to go to college, you need to work hard and save to pay for it. If you are not willing to work hard and save enough to pay for the education in cash, you do not truly believe it is that important. The next step to being debt-free is taking care of the big loan many people have, the mortgage. Have you been paying off your mortgage for 5 years, 10 years, or even longer? These loans are so large, they can take 30 years or more to pay off. If you do not have a mortgage, are you aiming to get one in the future? This is a major part of your total money makeover, and it is all about paying off your mortgage sooner rather than later. For the average person, this is the last step to financial fitness. In most cases, the completion of this step will leave you genuinely debt-free. However, this step is not easy, and you have to look out for and avoid pitfalls, which will try to stop you from succeeding. For instance, many people and so-called financial experts will suggest you take out a loan against your home and then invest this extra money in the stock market. The concept is elementary. They believe you can earn more than the interest you would be paying on the loan. For example, if you take out a $100,000 loan at 8% APR backed by your home, and invest that in the stock market, which has a historical return of roughly 12%, you would net 4% or $4,000. In reality, however, it's not that simple. Even in that nearly ideal situation, after taxes and fees, your net profit would be closer to $1,000. So you are taking a massive risk, and which could cause you to lose your home if things go wrong. The stock market is volatile, especially short term. If there is a crash and you lose your job, you could lose everything you have worked so hard and so long for. If you are going to risk losing your home, you better have the potential to see enormous gains. A 1% net does not even come close to meeting that criteria. If you do not already have a mortgage, should you get the standard 30-year option? The thought is you will pay extra money when you can. Unfortunately, this is simply not how things work. Most people will purchase the most expensive home they can afford at a 30-year rate and have no extra money. As time goes on, they may see a nominal income increase. However, most people will also see similar increases in monthly expenses. They will trade up to a better car, start purchasing more expensive food like opting for organic options, go on longer vacation, spend more on their children and on entertainment. The truth is, most people will not spend any more than they are required to on their mortgage. So what is the answer? Opt for a 15-year mortgage. Now I already hear some of you saying, but Dave, I can't afford the house I want on a 15-year mortgage. To To which I say, if you must opt for a 30-year mortgage, you can't afford it, period. Just because it's an option does not mean you can afford it. Many young men who want to appear successful will spend $600 of their $800 monthly net income on a car note while still living with his parents. Just because he has more than $600 of income does not automatically mean he can afford a $600 a month car note. It may be a bitter pill to swallow, but if you want to have financial freedom in your life, you need to make the responsible decision. That means sticking to a 15-year mortgage, where you will save a significant portion of the interest you would be paying on a 30-year term. By the time you have paid off your home, you will be leaps and bounds beyond the large majority of people in regard to financial freedom. Once your home is paid off and you are completely debt-free, is it time to shift focus to building your wealth and saving for retirement? Seek the advice of CPAs, tax advisors, and attorneys who can point you in the right direction. These professionals will be able to analyze your current situation and determine what needs to be done to secure the financial safety of your future. Regardless of what you decide on, it is vital to stay dedicated to your plan. As you age and become more fearful of market corrections and bad economies, you cannot allow emotions to interfere with your chosen sound financial strategy. Last of all, financial fitness is not about saving away every penny possible to the point of not enjoying your life. You can still drive a $50,000 car, go on wonderful vacations, and live in a million-dollar home. Financial fitness is about being fiscally responsible and not overextending yourself. Enjoy all that life has to offer. If you want more, do not resort to debt. Instead, commit to work harder and earn extra income for more expensive desires. If you are responsible during your working years, you will be rewarded with a secure and comfortable retirement. You can live in your paid-off home, go on vacations, and spend time doing anything you want. With financial fitness comes financial freedom. Never be a slave to money. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Think and Grow Rich is a masterpiece of financial information. Napoleon studies the most successful business people of his time and presents the information in a way which is both easy to understand and easy to apply. Most people desire to have great wealth. Unfortunately, desire alone does not achieve this. If you want financial freedom, you need a burning desire which will drive you into action. For example, Thomas Edison conducted thousands of failed experiments in his quest to create electric light. Where most men would have quit, he persevered because he believed in his quest and was sure he could succeed if he kept trying. As we all know, eventually, he did succeed in his quest to change the world and create the light bulb. If you want to achieve success, you must ask yourself honestly, do you currently have the willpower and drive to keep pushing despite failures and setbacks? A strong personal positive attitude and strategic goal setting is vital to succeeding in life. How do you feel about your goals? How do you feel about your vision? Do you feel you can accomplish and bring them to fruition? Do you believe your goals are large enough, or are you selling yourself short? One thing to keep in mind is every success story you have ever heard begins with a person and his goal or dream. The great leaders of our generation do not one day wake up to a successful company. They too started off just like you, with a dream and desire to accomplish something great. Achieving greatness requires much hard work for an extended period. To sustain motivation, it is important to have a clear vision with clear, defined goals. So, do not set out a goal to become rich. This is vague and subjective. Set out to attain a specific income or net worth. It is also important to apply a time frame to your goal. A goal with no time limit is of little use. What is the difference between starting today versus starting tomorrow when you have your whole life to achieve a goal? Next, you want to devise a detailed plan on how to accomplish your goal within the given period of time. Of course, You may not know every detail right now, and that is okay. Plan what you can, with the first step in the process being exceedingly clear. When your plan is completed, get started. Do not allow yourself to procrastinate for even one day. If you would like to anchor your desire for success deep inside your mind, try this. Write down your large goal. Now write your plan of action. Keep it by your bedside, and every morning read it when you rise, and then again before bed. Try this, and you will see it easier for you to stay motivated. This will help you make your goal become a reality. If you want to achieve your goals, you must believe in yourself. It is necessary to have absolute confidence and know you can be successful. If you do not believe in yourself, you will not realize greatness or wealth. To invent or create, you must first believe. Success cannot come before belief. Our level of self-belief will influence our work ethic, drive, and perseverance more than can be imagined. Success is simply too hard to create without self-belief. Of course, most of us are not born with this inherent sense of self-belief in our ability to move mountains and change the world. So how do you develop it? One little step at a time. For example, try auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion is a technique to influence your natural occurring thoughts by practicing intentional thoughts of purpose. For example, if you desire to improve your ability to manage money, tell yourself, "I am responsible and intelligent with money." Repeat this to yourself over and over. Eventually, you will catch yourself saying this even when you are not intentionally implementing auto-suggestion. The beauty of auto-suggestion is it can be used for any goal. Simply affirm now the reality you desire, and your unconscious brain will eventually catch on and believe that reality to be true. Using auto-suggestion often will help it work even better. This is an important and useful tool to achieving success. While motivation and dedication is important, you must also have the necessary knowledge to succeed. Take these concepts into consideration. First, throw away what society tells you education is. The knowledge you gain in school may help you perform better on a test, but ultimately, it will not help you become wealthy. Many great leaders of society were not formally educated. Henry Ford never attended high school, and yet through specialized knowledge and hard work, he built an empire which transformed America. For you to succeed, it is not necessary to study a broad spectrum of subjects. Instead, you want to develop tunnel vision and focus exclusively on your goal. It is fun to acquire a diverse and wide base of general information. It is vital to acquire specific information in your dedicated field. You may be able to gather this information in a standard education setting. However, you may be able to gather this information through experience, the public library, or apprenticeship. Be flexible on your sources of information, but strict and demanding on gathering it. Do not allow yourself to become complacent. Complacency will leave you exactly where you are now. To grow into the next level of success or financial freedom, so must your knowledge grow. There is one skill everyone can develop, which increases their likelihood of success. You must become an expert at finding information. This is a skill unto itself, and is as useful to an investor or inventor as it is to a business owner or professional athlete. Everyone needs information relevant to their goal, and everyone needs to be capable of finding that information. The more knowledge you attain, the more you will understand what you do not know. As you surround yourself with a positive and influential network of strategically chosen individuals, you will have ever-increasing access to the rarest and most precious pieces of information. An idea is the first step to any great success, and before that idea was created, there was imagination at play. Your mind is a creative workshop, which can transform imagination into an idea. It is hard work which transforms that idea into a reality. There are two types of imagination: creative imagination and synthetic imagination. Creative imagination is developing a brand new idea. The first of anything will generally fall into this category. The first plane, the first boat, the first car, the first assembly line, the first helmet. Nearly anything you can think of had to first be created from scratch. In contrast, synthetic imagination is the improvement of an existing idea. Most of the time, the current smartphone or car will fall into this category. There may be small bits of creative imagination within the product, but it is essentially the same thing with a few upgrades. For example, some people would place the original iPhone under the creative imagination category because it was such a massive improvement over anything which previously existed. In contrast, the iPhone 3G would fall under the synthetic imagination category because it was essentially an improved version of the existing product. Think of your ability to imagine new things as a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it will grow. If you want to improve your ability to have a clear vision, develop original plans of action and figure out creative solutions to your problems, all you need to do is practice. If you put forth the time and energy to practice your imaginative and creative thinking abilities, you will find yourself drastically improving in no time at all. To gain professional success, you need to be aware of your weaknesses as well as your strengths. For example, if you have trouble setting specific goals or with procrastination, you need to be self-aware of these weaknesses. If you have a weakness in these areas but a strength in networking, you can use that knowledge to obtain a partner who will sit down with you and help you clarify your goals and a set of actions you need to take to achieve those goals. He will then follow up and keep you accountable to your plan of action. If you choose not to be self-aware and not admit your weaknesses, you would likely never obtain great success. So take a few moments to evaluate yourself. What are you good at? What are you bad at? Would it be reasonably easy to fix some of your weaknesses, or are these issues you need help with? You should also take some time for a more general evaluation of your performance lately. Have you had clear goals recently? Were your goals of the correct magnitude? Did you achieve your goals? Have you acquired as much information and knowledge in your field of business as you should have? Have you been a strong leader and decision maker in your business? Have you made good decisions or bad decisions? Add on any additional questions you like. Answer them all and then give the list to someone close to you in your business and ask them to answer the questions about you. It may be useful to use a scale of 1 to 10 instead of yes or no answers. Other people will often be overly nice and positive about your performance, so automatically subtract a few points. If they say you performed at a level of 8, they probably really think you performed at a 6. Have several people answer these questions and analyze the whole to look at the averages. Where are you doing well? Where do you need improvement? It is vital to never chastise anyone for giving you a low rating. Quite the opposite. You need to encourage your survey takers to be brutally honest. No matter the result, smile and tell them you appreciate them for their honest opinion and for helping you improve your performance. Our subconscious mind has an extraordinary level of influence over our actions. The subconscious mind can be our best friend, pushing us forward with powerful and positive actions. It can also be our worst enemy, holding us back, keeping us procrastinating, and making us not believe in ourselves. Fortunately, we can influence the subconscious mind by feeding it what we want it to put out. If you want your subconscious mind to support you with unwavering positivity and support, you need to consciously talk to yourself with unwavering positivity and support. If you allow your conscious mind to be dominated by negativity, hate, and pessimism, your subconscious mind doesn't stand a chance. Therefore, it is imperative to surround yourself with positive and successful people. You will become what you are surrounded by. If those around you are pessimists with a victim mentality, you will likely develop the same beliefs. In contrast, if you are surrounded by strong individuals who are optimistic, at least regarding their ability to succeed, and believe they are in control of and responsible for their own success, you too will develop that powerful mindset. One study, which looked at over 25,000 individuals who never achieved financial or professional success, showed a strong association to a lack of determination. In contrast, when multimillionaires were looked at, they were found to commonly have strong beliefs and a determination to live by their beliefs. These successful individuals were also found to be much better decision makers. It was found that those who have attained financial success were so determined to stick by their decisions and beliefs, they were often referred to as stubborn. When people would tell them something was a bad idea or could not be done, they turned a blind eye and pushed forward. Henry Ford was an example of this stubbornness, with his desire to create the world's first 8-cylinder engine cast in one block. Ford had some of the best engineers on the planet working for him, and they told him it was impossible. Ford disregarded his own world-class experts and told them he was paying them, and they would continue to develop it until they either succeeded or no longer worked for him. It took over a year, but the engineers eventually figured it out, and Ford continued to be a business and auto tycoon until his death. Obstacles are an inevitability in any project of significance. Encountering problems should not surprise you. It should be expected. Unfortunately, most people give up when they encounter setbacks. So many people have an idea or plan with great potential, but the second they experience some turbulence, they give up. This is why dedication plays such a vital role in achieving success. You must sustain confidence and dedication despite the turbulence. We must constantly remind ourselves of our goals and envision our dreams daily. If we allow ourselves to lose sight of specifically what exactly we want to achieve and why we are willing to work hard to achieve it, we will give up. Because why wouldn't we? If you want to achieve professional and financial greatness, follow these 4 simple rules. 1. You must have a goal. It must be a clear goal, and you must have a strong why, meaning you must know why you want to achieve the goal. 2. You must have a detailed and as complete plan as currently possible. 3. You must protect your positive and optimistic self-confidence from anyone who may try to bring any non-constructive negativity into your life. Of course, if they have some advice on how to improve your business marketing or investment allocation, that is something you may desire to listen to. On the other hand, if they simply want to say you will never succeed at your business or you are focused too much on money and should just relax, you need to get that person out of your life. 4. You must have a strong network of supporters. These people can be friends, family, or fellow business people. When times go rough, you will need someone there to make sure you don't quit. A larger goal will often require more detailed planning, which will require superior execution, which will require your self-confidence, knowledge, and determination to be stronger than ever. To develop this strong mental foundation, you should create a brain trust. A brain trust is a team of creative and successful individuals who will help you define your goal, acquire knowledge, and execute your plan of action. A brain trust is more united than a network. A brain trust are people who genuinely care for each other and are willing to devote time and energy to helping one another. A brain trust is valuable due to its synergistic nature. When multiple intelligent and successful individuals get together to form a strategy, the result will be superior to any plan one of these individuals could have come up with alone. These rock-solid plans will help you achieve your goals quicker with less risk. Money, Master the Game by Tony Robbins. Money, Master the Game will make money work for you. Do not allow your money to sit in a savings account and lose purchasing power every year. Instead, invest it in a safe and conservative manner which will grow over time and secure your financial future. If this is the beginning of your financial education, or you are a professional investor, everyone can learn something from this profound book. Do you watch a lot of fiction video content or play video games? Are you a couch potato? Are you sitting around every day just slowly getting fat and dying? Hopefully this is not you. But we all know that bad things happen to those who live a passive and sedentary life. Oddly enough, if you are intelligent about how you invest your money, you can simply kick back and dedicate your time and energy elsewhere as it continues to grow year after year. Invest it incorrectly, and it will shrink in purchasing power, or even disappear altogether. This book will teach you the ins and outs of investing and growing your money into wealth. Of course, we should always have a drive and purpose to our life. However, if we invest wisely, we will never have to worry about money again. We will have the freedom to do what we want and when we want to do it. That is when you have won the game of money. Is your money currently working hard for you? For most people, their money is more like the person on the couch, just sitting around waiting to die. Unless you already have tens of millions of dollars in the bank and have enough money to live off for the rest of your life despite its depreciation, you need to invest and get your money growing. Ironically, people who have this kind of money will almost always invest it. And people who don't have enough money will typically keep it under their metaphoric pillow, letting it slowly dwindle away. In other words, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But it doesn't have to be this way. You too can invest your money and grow it into something great. Most people are satisfied with their income, even if it is not enough to properly cover their retirement. People tend to think they are doing better than they really are because they are only thinking about the here and now. They are not taking into consideration the expenses they will incur for 30 years after retirement when they need a full-time assistant, and the dollars they made decades ago are now only worth pennies. Some people believe the government will take care of them. Unfortunately, the government can no longer be relied upon. 401k plans in the United States are in deep trouble and are getting worse every year. Other pension plans incurred a massive hit during the financial crisis of 2008. Fortunately, you can resolve this yourself. You need to invest often, invest early, and allow the magic of compounding to take flight. Compounding will allow your money to grow at an exponential rate year after year. For example, $100 invested at a 10% APR will turn into $110 after 1 year and $121 after 2 years. These numbers may seem quite small. Early on, exponential growth will be so small it often looks like linear growth. However, when left to its devices for an extended period, it can change lives. For instance, Benjamin Franklin left $1,000 to the city of Boston and $1,000 to Philadelphia when he died in 1790. Knowing the power of compounding interest, he set up the contract so the cities had to invest the money and wait 100 years before touching it. In 100 years, that $1,000 grew into well over $500,000. $500,000 was taken out of the account to help the city, and the remaining balance was kept in investments for another 100 years. This time, in 1990, over $6.5 million was withdrawn. Of course, 100 years is a long time, but with regular contributes, extraordinary results can be seen in a few decades' time. Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it, earns it. He who doesn't, pays it. Albert Einstein. So, you are starting the path to financial security. What is the first step? The first step to financial security is quite simple. Spend less money than you earn. This is the foundation of all saving and investment plans. You need to spend less than you earn, so every month you have a little money left over. Saving may be simple, but it is not necessarily easy for people. For some people, it seems whether they make $1,000 a month or $10 million a year, they just seem to spend more than they earn and ultimately file for bankruptcy. It may help to change a few small things. For instance, instead of calling it savings, which is a bit boring to some, try calling it your freedom fund. Have you ever met anyone who wanted to go on a specific vacation and magically they were able to start saving money every single paycheck for 2 years because they so desperately wanted to go on this vacation? A freedom fund is essentially a larger version of this. A freedom fund is not for just one measly vacation, but for your entire life. It is so you can afford to live a high-quality, amazing life and never need to worry about basic living expenses. Liken saving money or growing your freedom fund to climbing a mountain. Eventually, you will need to take the first few steps because the peak of the mountain is so far away, it will appear as if you are making no progress toward your goal. Even if you look back to see the distance you have traveled, you will compare these couple of footsteps to the monumental amount of distance still ahead and feel as though those steps taken were pointless. However, once you inch toward your goal, eventually you will see the peak of the mountain getting closer and closer. Soon enough, you will look back and realize you are closer to the peak than from where you started. The closer to the peak you get, the more significant each step will appear. Of course, the last step is no more important than the first, but we will notice a greater difference, and I feel like those final steps are more significant than they really are. You want to remember this during the beginning phases when growing your freedom fund. That first month when you put away such a tiny amount may seem insignificant. However, it is just as important as 30 years down the line when you are putting much larger monthly contributions into a well-established fund. To get there, you must start here. Once your freedom fund has passed the threshold, where you will no longer need to worry about day-to-day living expenses for the rest of your life, you will look back and see that it was all worth it. Just like how when you are climbing the mountain, all you focus on is the peak. However, once you reach the peak, you then, for the first time, completely relax and look out at the view. It is this moment you will realize the journey was worth it. Contributing every month to your freedom fund is so important. You must do it even when your income decreases. Instead of cutting out your freedom fund deposit, you need to cut your expenses elsewhere. Investing in your own future is always number one. As a rule of thumb, it is recommended you save a bare minimum of 10% of your monthly income. If you are attempting and failing to meet the 10% minimum, try 5%. The most important part is to get that ball rolling as soon as possible. This may be difficult for the first few months, but you will adjust and eventually be happier to have a safety net in case things go awry. For some people, the second you bring up investing money, they immediately shut down. They have such a strong fear of losing their money, they don't even want to entertain the idea. This is particularly true for investing in the stock market, which is perceived by some to be extremely dangerous and much riskier than investing in almost anything else: gold, diamonds, jewelry, art, real estate, land, bonds, etc. Of course, the stock market does hold some inherent risk, but so do all of these other investment strategies. If you invest intelligently in the stock market, you can certainly do so in a way which is low risk and will likely have a greater potential for growth than most other passive investment opportunities. For those unaware, passive investments are investments which require minimal amounts of your time. For example, if you purchase a S&P 500 tracking index fund and simply buy and hold it for decades, that would be considered a passive investment. On the other hand, if you are constantly buying and selling stocks daily, that would be considered an active investment. Starting a business may be the best opportunity for growth, but it will generally require massive amounts of time from you. When it comes to relatively low time maintenance investments, the stock market is hard to beat, historically speaking. So if you're going to invest your money in the stock market, should you just hand it over to a stockbroker and let them make your decisions? Not so fast. Let us first define what a stockbroker is. A stockbroker is a person who earns a living by getting you to buy and sell stocks and funds. In other words, a stockbroker is a salesperson, and what he sells is investment opportunities. However, it is irrelevant whether you make money or not. He still gets paid the same amount. Think of a stockbroker like a used car salesman. Generally speaking, the more expensive the car he sells you, the more money he makes. It does not matter if you need or can't afford the car. He still gets paid. A stockbroker will rarely, if ever, tell you now is not a good time to invest. Even if it is literally the worst possible day to invest, he still gets paid. And the more money he gets you to invest, the higher his commission is. If a car salesman sells you a great car that you love, or a car that blows its head gasket on the way home from the dealership, he still earns the same commission. Sometimes the car salesman will earn more money for selling you the worst car, because the dealership has more profit in the worst car. Similarly, some stockbrokers will earn a higher commission for pushing you on specific mutual funds with higher hidden fees. In other words, some stockbrokers will intentionally try to sell you lower quality investment opportunities because they earn a higher commission on it. So, should you hand over all of your savings to a stockbroker? No. Should you bypass the standard stockbroker and invest in a mutual fund? Also, no. Actively managed mutual funds may sound like a good deal. However, the fact of the matter is, it is extremely rare for a mutual fund to outperform the index it follows long term. Some mutual funds will get lucky and outperform the market for 3 to 5 years, but hardly ever 10 or more years. Much of this is due to the extremely high hidden fees associated with investing in a mutual fund. You may hear 1 or 2% and think these numbers are small and sound irrelevant, but these numbers are massive, severely damaging your ability to enjoy the full benefits of compound interest. These small fees can eat away over 3/4 of your long-term earnings. Index funds are the vastly superior alternative. So, you can't trust stockbrokers, and you can't trust the people who run mutual funds. Is there anyone you can trust? Yes, you can trust a fiduciary. A fiduciary has strict legal restrictions, which require them to exclusively have your best interest in mind. Note to reader, Tony Robbins later retracted his praise of fiduciaries after he learned that most of them are using a loophole in the law, which allows them to both be a fiduciary and a stockbroker. Without many people to trust and simply turn your money over to, it becomes more likely you will decide to invest your savings on your own. This can feel intimidating to some, but it doesn't have to be. By following a few basic steps, you can earn the same amount, if not more, than many professionals. First, you need to believe you are capable of investing your own money. Confidence is vital to success in investing. If you believe you will fail, you will. Follow up your belief with real information. Do not blindly follow what some stock analyst or talking head on TV tells you. Do your own research and have conviction in yourself. A good place to start your education is to study the great investors of your time. With the internet, it is easier than ever to find the investment strategies and beliefs of your favorite investors. Lastly, be careful. You are dealing with a lot of money here. It is no fun when you could have made more money with a larger or riskier investment which you decided against. On the other hand, one single big mistake can wipe out your entire life savings. So always err on the side of caution. How much money do you need? A few hundred? A few thousand? Maybe even a million? How much do you need before you no longer have to worry about money anymore? Of course, the exact number will be different for everyone, but here are a few goals which would serve you well. 1. Cover your basic living expenses from money you generate from investments. 2. Cover your basic living expenses plus some extra money for entertainment and dining out. 3. Earn enough from your investments to establish financial independence. This is enough earnings from the compounding interest of your investments to cover all your annual expenses. If you spend $34,688 a year, you will require roughly $640,000 in investments. 4. After you have covered standard living expenses, continue to grow until your investments are paying you enough to improve the quality of your life, enough so you can go on nice vacations and better take care of your family. 5. Continue to increase your invested amount until you reach absolute financial freedom. This is having so much money, you can do virtually anything you want, whenever you want to do it. If you do not have specific goals with a plan, it is easy to become